You're listening to Clinical Conversations. I'm your host, Joe Elia. A study out of Hong Kong just published in The Lancet shows that a combination of three antiviral drugs has the effect of shortening the time from the start of COVID-19 treatment to when nasopharyngeal swabs are free of virus. The researchers used a combination of three drugs, all of which have shown activity against coronaviruses related to SARS-CoV-2. Some patients also received interferon. The regime was compared against a regime using only two of the antivirals and no interferon. The study's first author, Professor Ivan Hung, has kindly agreed to talk with us. Professor Hung is with the State Key Laboratory of Emerging Infectious Diseases, Carol Yu Center for Infection at the University of Hong Kong. Welcome, Professor Hung, and thank you for agreeing to talk with us.
Thank you, Joe. Very kind of you.
Previous work on 2003 SARS and 2012 MERS was key here, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
And can you briefly explain the rationale for using the three drugs that you did?
Yes. The choices of the three drugs are based on our previous research published in 2003 and also in subsequently in 2015. The two studies were based on, in 2003, we were using the Calitra, which is the lopinavir-ritonavir, together with the ribavirin in patients with SARS in 2003. And we were able to demonstrate with that combination that patient clinically, they actually performed better with fewer complications of ARDS and also fewer mortality. Nevertheless, it was a pilot study. Subsequently, we did another study on marmoset, which is the the South American monkey.
Yeah.
And we did in that animal model, we were able to demonstrate by using either interferon or with the Calitra, we were able to suppress the virus and with better survival in the monkey model. And that's the reason why we choose to use the interferon beta 1b, the Calitra, and also the ribavirin as our combination for this antiviral.
As you say in the paper, interferon jump starts the immune system.
Yes.
It has that effect. So you limited the use of interferon to those whose symptoms had emerged less than 7 days before starting treatment.
Yes.
And why did you limit it to early diagnosis?
We worried about the pro-inflammatory effect of the interferon. And as we know that from other studies, we know that the viral load actually peak in the COVID-19 very early, 24 to 40 hours from symptom onset. So that's why we decided to use the interferon within 7 days. Because we worried that we give it to patients who present to us late, beyond 7 days, there will be an adverse effect of activating the inflammatory cytokine in these patients, and it might worsen their clinical presentation.
As you say, it jump starts the immune system, and you don't want to put it into overdrive, I guess.
Yes, that's the reason.
It seems very important to start treatments, at least with a triple regimen of antivirals within 7 days. Is it because the viral load peaks early?
Yes. From our research in influenza and also other respiratory viruses, we know that if you have treatment very early on, within the 7 days from symptom onset, we will be able to suppress the viral load especially for the first few days. By suppressing the viral load, you actually prevent complication from happening in the second week, which is usually complicated with activation of the immune system and you have the cytokine storm. And that is when you get most of your complication, including your severe pneumonia, your respiratory failure, followed by multi-organ failures. Mm-hmm. So it is key, in fact, to treat COVID-19 or influenza within the first few days, or at least within the first week from symptom onset. So that is the very, very important.
And some people who received the triple drug regimen started the drug regimen after the 7 days of symptoms.
In this trial, we actually just give two drugs for those who were presented beyond 7 days or beyond. So in fact, in the treatment arm, for those who presented 7 days or beyond, we did not give the interferon because of the adverse effects that we worry about, the pro-inflammatory effect. So we only give the Keytruda and the ribavirin for those late presenters.
Let me just be clear. Some of the patients received the Keytruda and ribavirin, but yes. not interferon.
Within the combination group.
Right.
For those patients who present 7 days or beyond, we only give the Keytruda and ribavirin without the interferon of fearing the pro-inflammatory effect of the interferon.
And so,
whereas in the control group, we only give the Keytruda as a control.
In your table that you described the results, I think it's table three or something.
Yes.
The people who received the triple drug regimen, the combination regimen, and not interferon, did not do significantly better than the people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Because table three is a subgroup analysis.
Yes.
So we actually split the group back according to when they actually present with the symptoms. So which is a fairer comparison.
Yeah.
Because for those who actually take the triple therapy with interferon, there are 52 of them within the combination group. And we compare these to the control, which is 24 of them who was also presented in the control group within 7 days. So that is a fairer comparison.
Yes.
Whereas for those who only received the two drugs, that means that they present 7 days or beyond, they're compared with the control, with the only Keytruda group, and there's no difference between the two groups.
Right. There were no statistical significant
difference. And that actually proved that interferon probably is the backbone of the triple therapy.
Yeah, it's either interferon or early treatment.
Yes. Right? In fact, I think it's both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's, if you compare with the control, it actually show a difference. So which is also early treatment. So that means interferon is likely to be the key factor.
Okay. And so you didn't use a placebo, and you mentioned in the discussion that there's a reluctance to use a placebo.
We discussed this in our treatment panel or committee within our hospital authority. And in fact, all the panel members said, placebo will not be accepted by the patient, given our painful experience in SARS. So that's why we have the Keytruda as the control rather than placebo.
I see. And now, did the results surprise you? Were you expecting that interferon would have the effect that it did have?
The result was more or less what we expected, although we were a little bit surprised in terms of the difference between the combo and the control, especially in terms of the viral suppression.
Yeah, the shedding was shortened among the combo recipients from 7 days versus 12 days with the controls. The symptom alleviation, symptoms were alleviated in the combo group in 4 days versus 8 days in the controls.
Indeed, yes.
And the hospital stay was much shorter. It was 9 in the combo group and about 15 in the controls. So
the control, yes.
So yeah, something was at work. And so, but the two variables seemed to be time and interferon.
Absolutely.
So are you doing more studies on trying to resolve that, trying to get a finer?
Yes. There are several things we're trying to do in another trial, which we just started, even though we have no patients now in Hong Kong. I think the limitations in our first study is that is all mild to moderate cases that we have.
Yes.
Most of them comes in with a new score of 1 or 2. The other problem, of course, is that we have very few severe cases probably because we hospitalize our patient early on and treat them, most of them, within the first week. So that's why we have very few severe cases, including we have less than, you know, SDN 1,000 cases in Hong Kong, confirmed cases. Less than 3% was in the ICU. And it's also, you know, less than 0.4% in terms of mortality. So it's very difficult to we want to recruit severe cases, but we couldn't. Yeah. So the next step, of course, is to see whether this regimen works in severe cases, if we have more severe cases in the coming winter. Or that is that we will be looking at the whether we can actually use interferon in patients who presented beyond 7 days, which we think that it is not a, not of the pro-inflammatory adverse effects is not a problem anymore. Uh-huh. We can actually give interferon for patients who present beyond 7 days. So we'll be looking at that as well.
And if you were looking for severe cases, you would need to look no further than Boston.
Yes.
So are you working with colleagues internationally at all? Or?
Yes, we have collaborators in Europe, in UK, and also in US, which we communicated with. We will be very happy to look for further trials with our collaborators.
Yes, I hope that happens.
In the coming winter, yeah. We have more cases as well.
Have you started using the regimen? You say you don't have any severe cases at the university now. Have you started using the regimen on other patients in other hospitals in Hong Kong?
Well, we in fact, for this trial, we have included six major public hospital in Hong Kong that actually cover around 75% of the population in Hong Kong. So in fact, we actually recruited most of the patients in the first 2 months up to the 20th of March of all our confirmed cases. We only have our second wave in the late March, where we have a surge of cases from about 200 up to now 1,000 confirmed cases at the end. So we have recruited more or less all the patients, or majority of the patients that we have in Hong Kong. So if we are looking for more severe cases, then probably we have to look somewhere else.
Yeah.
With collaborators in other parts of the world.
You mentioned a term I'm not familiar with. You call it NEWS 2. It's a National Early Warning.
Indeed, National Early Warning Score 2, which was developed in the UK for assessing especially respiratory illnesses affecting with presenting with pneumonia, and that allows us to compare the treatment and the control arm in the terms severity. Of clinical deviations.
So the severity of the pulmonary.
Indeed.
Okay, so pardon my ignorance about that. I want to thank you for speaking with me today, Professor Hung.
Thank you, Joe. Very kind of you. And happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you. I hope you enjoy it. That was our 266th episode. All the rest can be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from the NEJM Group, and our executive producer is Kristen Kelly. I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.